Okay, I'm recording. Let's do it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of All Your Base Podcast.
All your base are belong to us. You are on the way to the mission.
Cheese and beans, and you can get me on Twitter at Jimmy2Times.
And I'm BigD7719, and you can get me on Twitter at DanTheMan7719. This is the point in the show where we remind you that we buy all our own games. We aren't influenced by companies sending us things, trying to sway our opinion.
Yeah, that's right. All our games we part with are hard-earned. We feel that we've paid for the right to give you our opinion. So if you've got anything to say about it, or you know your opinion differs, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at AYBpodcast.
Or you can email us AYBpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
So, as always, Jim, let's have a look at what we've been playing this week. Do you want to kick me off?
Yeah. So, this week, Destiny, as per the norm, you know how it goes. The weekly reset wasn't too long ago. Put my teeth in. I've been doing some more heists on GTA.
Yep.
Now, I've let the side down a little bit on this, you know. I really enjoy them. I really enjoy the mode and the fact that you have to play with your friends, and it's all about that sort of co-op thing where communication's key, and the better the communication, the better that you do.
Sure, yeah.
You know, in the heist, the more money that you'll ultimately earn. However, it's been brought to my attention. Well, I say brought to my attention. It's pretty obvious even to me really that because I've not been playing this game as long as a lot of the other people that I play with, that I'm actually really quite bad at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't think that's for any fault of my own. I think that the controls, because they're not as tight as a first-person shooter, you know, they're not as tight as Destiny, they're not as tight as Call of Duty or Battlefield or, you know, all these kind of games, Killzone, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That it just feels really, really floaty. If that's I think that is a pretty decent description of it, and because of that, I don't feel like I was in as much control of the character, and because of that, you know, I tend to die a lot more than you know a lot of the other guys that I'm kind of playing with, which you know I mean for them, don't get me wrong, I mean the guys that I've been playing with are really kind of how can I say? I don't want to say respectful, but they're very kind with their sort of choice of words and stuff.
They're patient with you.
Very patient, mate, yeah. You know, I don't get as much of a pan in as probably I should, because especially with the last heist. I mean, I don't really want to give anything away. I know they've not been out all that long, and some people might not have got to the last heist.
I don't know how far to play most of them, I would imagine.
Right, in which case, then, matey, I shall keep my lips firmly shut. Yeah, but basically, you know, the more you get hit, the more money that you lose.
Sure.
So I'm getting hit a lot. The team's not making that much money. And I find myself getting really, really frustrated with it to the point where I haven't rage quit, but my joypad's had some airtime.
It's oh, really?
Been across the front room.
Wow.
It's bounced off the sofa with headset attached.
Not good, man.
And I've gone in a bit of a strop.
What you got to remember, Jimbo, is that you can only be very good at one game at a time. And you can change it.
Yeah.
You know, you can put those hours in, but that sort of that reflex and that muscle memory and that instinctual response, you can only really get that with one game at a time. And awful long time, that's been Destiny, hasn't it?
It has, buddy, yeah, and it's certainly not going to be GTA for a long time. I mean, I've bought myself a couple of really nice cars with the money that I've managed to make with the guys that I've been playing with.
Yeah.
I've been able to make myself some very sort of serious money, and I've managed to get myself probably, I'd say, nearly $2 million worth of cars.
Which that's really good going.
Nothing to be sniffed at, mate. I'm really kind of chuffed with that. But aside from, you know, the online multiplayer stuff that, you know, I'm guessing the listeners will by now know that it's kind of our kind of food and drink, really. I've been playing some of Ollie 2, which was a free game on the PS Plus subscription thing.
Downloaded, but never played it.
Really, really addictive, man. I've got the first one on the Vita and also for the PS4. And enjoyed it. But I could never get my head around the fact that it wasn't Tony Hawk's. So any skateboarding game that I play, I mean, I played that, so was it EA Skate, was it?
On the Skate, PS3 yeah. A while ago? Ratchet Tony Hawk's.
Yeah, that was a poor man's Tony Hawk's, man. I mean, I really didn't get on with that game at all. In fact, I think I'd rather be sort of skateboarding on one of them little fingerboards, to be honest, with the kids. But it just, you know, I'm pressing sort of X to kind of Ollie, and that's not the case at all. It really sort of changes the control system to a point where the game feels alien when you first play it. Yeah. But if you persevere, which I have done, then there's some really good game time to be had there. It's definitely a pick up and play sort of thing, ideal for the Vita. Plays really well on the PS Vita TV. One of the few games that actually do, and for the PS4 as well. Yeah, it's not really about those graphics, which, you know, are very much kind of your 16-bit kind of style.
Yeah,
it's very much the gameplay, which, you know, is really, really good.
Okay. So sounds good.
I mean, I've dipped into other things, but nothing really sort of too major. How about yourself, mate? What you've been cracking on with this week?
It's been a light week for me, as I've mentioned. I'm sort of moving house, and I've got an unbelievable amount of crap in my house. It's scary. When you actually start boxing it up and start moving, Jesus Christ.
It accumulates over a period, mate.
Yeah, it does not. But I had some friends over, and we played an awful lot of Nintendo over the weekend, especially the Wii U. Now, I, like I've said in the past, not historically a huge Nintendo fan. I'd heard good things about the Wii U, and I was really keen to see it. So, Mario Kart 8, Mario Party 10, amongst with Wii Sports, just for that sort of that classic old-fashioned one. And I think recently I sort of I heralded Nintendo as the alternative to sort of PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I really, really enjoyed it. Really impressed with Mario Kart. I'm a huge fan of Mario Party.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, though, to see that Nintendo have sort of delved into that whole world of milking the consumer dry. So, first of all, on Mario Party 10, you've got to use the old Wii remote. You can't use one of the joypad things.
Okay.
You can't use the massive control thing. Yep. If you want to play as one of the sort of the Mario good guy characters, you've got to have a Wiimote. And this led to us sort of scouring eBay about 10 o'clock on a Friday night, desperately trying to get hold of one of these Wiimotes. There's also something called Amiibo, which I and most people had never heard of, I imagine.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard of Skylanders. I've heard loads of moms at work whinging about their kids who want some bullshit Skylanders pie. I never pay any interest. Basically, it's a little figure of some Nintendo character with a little chip in.
Yeah.
You scan it against your controller and it unlocks content. Disc locked content, basically.
It's pretty appalling.
My friend had passed up the chance to get one of these figures for £5, and sort of looking online, it's like 10-15 quid.
Yeah.
And you can't play the original version of Mario Party without one of these Amiibo figures. You can only play the sort of the Bowser chasing you mode, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. But then just seeing this whole thing and this crap with Amiibo.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jip, man.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, the whole thing of Nintendo is that I heralded it as like an alternative to all this crap that's happening. But I guess, in their own way, you know, like, the Mario Party 10 doesn't come with Wiimote, so you can get Amiibo bundled in.
Yeah.
But it's four players versus Bowser. You've got to have four Wiimotes. You can't... It's just shit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those things are going sort of relatively cheap now, but it's still a bit of a pain in the ass trying to get your hands on them if you didn't have the original Wii.
We weren't expecting it, so... It
kind of crept up on you a little bit there, didn't it?
Well, yeah, we didn't know, so we hadn't planned for it, and then when you sit down and want to play it,
yeah,
you want it to work. But
yeah,
but despite that, I really enjoyed the Wii U. I once again cleaned up at Wii Sports Golf. I like to think I'm a bit of a pro at this, and I seriously thinking of getting a Wii U, which is something I wouldn't have thought that I would have said even a month ago.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like the idea of getting one. Just a little brief snippet of news, I guess. Something we haven't sort of really done in a little while, but I was reading in I can't remember if it was an email I got or some link on a Twitter feed, is that Nintendo are actually now branching off into mobile games. So it could be soon that you're playing, you know, Mario on your smartphone, and not just on an emulator that you download from the Android store. So how that pans out, you know, is going to be interesting. With obviously the fact that, you know, Nintendo pretty much dominate the handheld market anyway, their actual kind of handheld devices. It's going to be sort of weird to see just how that plays out.
It's quite a good ploy.
They're going to really kind of almost kind of corner the market, really. There's not really that much that's out there that kind of challenges them. I know, obviously, you've got the Vita, and even the retro handheld consoles are predominantly sort of Nintendo. So, did they really need to do it? I mean, they've got the majority of the market anyway. Sony's kind of really aimed at more kind of indie games and JRPGs. So I guess we'll see kind of what happens a little
bit. I'm not a huge fan of mobile games. I do like playing things on my Xperia. Big fan of my Xperia. But yeah, let's see what comes from that. It'd be interesting.
It will be.
I think they'd struggle to make sort of a Nintendo phone. But, you know, whether they can just sort of launch onto iTunes or Android or whatever, that'd be... Could be very interesting.
Could very well be, mate.
Right, so like we mentioned last week, something which we've been striving to do but haven't.
Yeah.
We were going to be looking at sort of gaming. I don't remember if I said moments or missions or levels, but sort of on further discussion, and we had, you know, loads of feedback on this. So thank you. You know, we do genuinely want to hear it.
It would have been nicer if the people would have actually tweeted in rather than just sort of messaging us on our phones and things like that. So, thanks a lot, guys, for the feedback.
We can retweet it, but it's good. But this led to us sort of realizing that ultimately we need to split this in two because, well, I couldn't get moments, levels, and missions down to sort of just three.
No.
So I think if we start with our top three gaming moments of all time, then perhaps, well, next week, or in fact, let's do the big reveal now. With me moving house, I'm not going to have internet, so we're going to do a back-to-back recording. But
yeah,
hey ho. So the next episode will be missions or levels.
Yep.
I think that will let us do it justice. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good to me, mate.
So, we've had a bit of a think about this, haven't we?
We have.
Do you want to kick us off with your number three? Your number three gaming moment, I should say.
Okay, my number three gaming moment now. You know, we have had a lot of kind of feedback about this, a lot of kind of, you know, people giving us their opinions and, you know, kind of what they think. And there've been some crackers there.
Yeah.
I guess the third one for me is going to be quite controversial. And the reason for it being so controversial is because just how kind of graphic and grim and just downright nasty it is. But number three for me is going to be when you are introduced to Trevor on Grand Theft Auto 5. Yeah,
that's a great moment, actually. I hadn't thought of that myself, but...
It's such an eye-opener. I mean, we all know what Grand Theft Auto, you know, is about. And for me, like, when you first meet him as a character, you know, even for Grand Theft Auto, it's a bloody eye-opener, man. You know, he's, you know, for the kids in the room, put your hands over your ears now, but you know what he's doing with the lady. And then he goes outside and stamps on that dude's head. So, yeah, just for me, I mean, that's one of those moments where you're not going to be forgetting that in a hurry. That's, you know, that's up there whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, what a character.
I think out of the three characters, whilst he's not my favourite, he is perhaps one of the most iconic and memorable.
Yeah.
In previous Grand Theft Autos, you've had sort of a Franklin-type character. Even, like, Michael, who's just like a... I know he's got his past and things, isn't he? But sort of like a dodgy-type businessman.
Yeah.
It's sort of been done. Whereas Trevor, that sort of crazy country hick guy, it's
sort of sociopathic.
Yeah, yeah.
Redneck. Because, to give the man his dues, he's not an idiot. You know, he's quite kind of calculated in, you know, in what he does.
Yeah.
He just does it in a really bad man kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's that opening kind of scene where, you know, it's not so much you're introduced to him. It's, you know, he's almost sort of thrust at you at sort of 400 mile an hour with like an atomic bomb strapped to his chest. Yes. So there you go. That's for me, mate. What about you? What's hitting number three for you?
So number three for me is I'm going back to Halo. I'm going to that first moment when you touch down on that beautiful sort of green world, and then you turn to one side and you realise that you're on a Halo ring, and you can look up and you can go the whole way around and realise that you're actually on not a planet but a big ring. That for me, that mind-bending moment that Halo's not just some weapon. It's like a planet but a ring, you know. It's just that for me, that really, I don't know why, but that was just sort of like mind-blowing.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, the scope of that game, and when it first, obviously, you know, you first landed, you know, pardon the pun, I was on PS2 at the time, and there was a lot of buzz about this game, you know, Halo that. And, you know, I'll be honest, it was a couple of years after the game came out that I first played it, but it hadn't lost its wow factor. You know, I'd played a lot of games at that point, obviously. But yeah, still pretty special, mate. Still pretty special.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, leading on from that moment, it's not in night number two, like one or two, but just the moment from when you realise there's not just one Halo ring, there's like seven of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't separate the moments, but yeah, I think something to do with the Halo rings, probably the fact that you can look up and go the whole way around and realise that in theory you could sort of run around this ring. But that's for me in at number three. Okay. Yourself, number two, what you got?
So for number two for me is going to be... Right, yeah, I mean, I've been kind of mulling out about this one.
Okay.
And I'm going to go way back when. And, you know, this is probably going to not surprise a lot of people. It's going to be from a Mario game. It's from the original Mario Brothers. And it's when I first found the warp zones. Like, I mean, at this point, there was no, you know, there was no YouTube back in the day. It was all about, you know, you played it, and if you found it, you found it. If you didn't, you didn't. And, you know, later on, they brought out magazines with kind of tips and stuff, you know, sort of Game Master magazine, things like that. But, you know, as a kind of, how old have I been? About 8 or 9 years old. And yeah, a lot of my friends had kind of, you know, we were talking about this Mario game, and you know, a few of the boys claimed to have kind of completed it in a certain amount of time. You know, me for one, I really wanted to sort of beat them, and I was just jumping around one day, and I came across you know, the fact I was able to kind of almost jump out of the level, and I was up on a ledge, and I was just sort of running along thinking, oh, this is great, I'm avoiding all the bad guys here. And then you finally come to a drop down point. And there's these three pipes that kind of go down. And you're thinking, hang on a minute, what's going on here? You drop down, And then you've got Warp to World, was it 2, 3 and 4, I think? There were two areas like this on the original Mario Brothers game, so you know you could actually sort of fly through this game, you know, pretty quickly. But finding those tubes for me was like my first kind of eye-opening moment. It was like, oh wow, I didn't know these, and it was a wow moment. I remember it, you know, sort of quite vividly, really. That, you know, it was like a little magical moment for me. Like I'd sort of. And I didn't tell anyone about it either. I kept it to myself. I thought, yeah, this is my secret. If anyone wants to sort of learn this, then they have to watch me sort of, you know, play and kind of finish the game. So yeah, I'll sort of tie on with that. The magic flutes on Mario Brothers 3. Although
you've lost me here now. This is hardcore Mario stuff. Go on.
Yeah. So basically, as you had these kind of secret kind of warp zones on Mario 1, you had the kind of flutes on Mario Brothers 3, which, you know, they liked the fact that players were, you know, excited about the fact that you could sort of skip levels and stuff like that. And they'd put these magic flutes in. So when you played, when you found one and you could store it in your inventory. And then whenever you felt like, you know, you got to a level that you couldn't do, or one that was boring or whatever, you could flick the whistle out, play it, and it would, you know, you could warp then to, you know, another level. And then, you know, from there, you can sort of carry on your adventure. So, anyway, I'm going on a bit of a rant here. But yeah,
totally lost me, mate. Yeah, but go on.
The secret kind of warp pipes on the original Mario Brothers on the NES.
Yeah, that's and pretty special, I think.
And then the whistles on Mario Brothers 3, again, also on the NES.
On the NES, very nice.
So after Jim's retro rant, what about yourself, mate?
So I'm going back to... Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Now, thinking of Star Wars, I had a load of Star Wars ones. Yeah. And the one I went for was the big reveal from Knights of the Old Republic. So anybody who, you know, doesn't know this and is intending on playing it, just give us 2 minutes. Basically, Star Wars Knights of the Republic, the premise of the game is you're this character with amnesia and you choose your own path of going down the good side of the Jedi's or the dark side and the Sith. Yeah. And it builds to this massive climax that your Darth Revan, the sort of the previous big bad guy, and it gives you all these flashbacks of all these little clues and hints that they've given you. And it's like, it's hard for any Star Wars game to match the sort of the moment where Vader would reveal to Luke that he's his father.
Yeah.
This for me surpassed it. And I think that's quite a bold statement, you know. Luke, I am your father is like one of the key lines from Star Wars. This Darth Revan reveal in Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, Vader to Luke, Game of Thrones, Red Wedding, just jaw dropping. Like, oh my god, it's amazing. It's what really propels that game for me to one of the greatest games ever. And then from that point, you can still then choose which way you want to play the game, and it kicks off that whole decision making process, and then all the pros and cons you made in the entire game all come to fruition. And it's such a fantastic climax to that game. But yeah, there'll be a lot of people who haven't played it, haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. For those lucky ones that have, yeah, the big climactic reveal of Knights of the Old Republic, it nearly made number one, to be honest with you, because even now, you know, this was on original Xbox, which is really going back.
Yeah.
It's a special moment. I don't know what to say. It's sensational. Tell me about your number one. I'm blissed out here.
Right, well, for me, Number one is from a game which, I mean, I'll rate so highly. It's unreal. I know, guys, it's not Destiny. It comes from a game called Journey that's on the PS3. Now, some of you guys that have been lucky enough to play this little gem will know exactly what I'm talking about. When you say, I mean, the whole game, really, I could have put the whole game as
just the whole game as the greatest game.
Yeah, because I mean, when we'd sort of messaged in the week, I'd sort of mentioned about the game, and for me, I was kind of struggling to pick out really what was my favourite moment of the game, because the whole experience in itself was just amazing. And even like the sort of late this afternoon when I've got in from work, I really wanted to just have a little play through it again, just so I could sort of pinpoint just exactly what my favourite sort of moment, you know, of that game was.
Yeah.
So, guys, I've played through this game. You'll know where I'm coming from when I say the sand sliding section of the game. And so basically, I mean, we've spoke about Journey before, and you know, you kind of play this kind of sort of this character who it's very difficult to explain it without, if you haven't played it, it's very difficult.
I've never played it. You explained it to me in the past, and I sort of get where you're going with it, but
yeah,
but I think just, I mean, like with my Knights of the Old Republic one, it's something which you've got to have sort of played to sort of fully grasp.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, the way that you kind of the character kind of floats around and, you know, glides and stuff like that, it's really kind of sort of majestic. I mean, is a word that I could kind of use for this game. The way that the character kind of moves, it's so graceful. The way he kind of floats around and stuff, the controls feel so tight. And you get to a section where you're kind of looking down this giant sort of sand dune, and you kind of, you know, you can jump down it, or you can, you know, as the as I've said there, you can sort of slide down it, and you guide your kind of character sort of down, sort of meander down this kind of hill. It's almost like you're sort of snowboarding or skiing down sand, which isn't really doing it justice, if I'm being honest. Guys, if you've not played this, get yourself on YouTube and Google, you know, and search out you know, the sand sliding section of Journey, because the music, the lighting, it's absolutely breathtaking. And I'm not putting that on a pedestal by any stretch of the imagination. Anyone that's played this game will understand what I'm saying. It's an experience. And I know you've got some really cool speakers when you play. Anyone that's got any 7.1 headset or surround sound or whatever, if you get the volume turned up really nice and high, you're playing this on a HD TV, that is going to blow you away. I can't really explain it, but yeah, search it on YouTube, man. The sand sliding section of the game Journey on the PS3.
Or perhaps don't search it, just go and do it. You know, I think it's something which I need to do into.
Yeah, bought a game. I mean, you can get it, you know, kind of relatively relatively cheap. I think they do it in a pack with Flower and Flow, like this kind
of. Yeah,
sort
you've
of
said, haven't
pack.
You, a few times.
It's really worth getting, man. I mean, I'd really like to see more from this developer. I mean, from what I've kind of read, there's been rumours that they're going to be bringing a HD kind of remake of Journey to the PS4. And, you know, the fact that I own it already on the PS3, which means I'm probably going to get it for free or at a discount, I'd pay full price for it. I'd, you know, if it was, you know, if it was, you know, 15, 20 quid, I'd pay it, because, you know, as an experience, not just as a game, it's head and shoulders above, I mean, 99% of games on any system, in my opinion. Absolutely fantastic. And that section alone, when you're sort of sliding down that sand dune there, amazing. And it's not been beaten. I'm looking for that. Every time I play a game, I want that kind of experience. That's what I pay my money for.
That's it. That's it. I guess that's why we're perpetually disappointed.
Definitely. How about yourself then, mate? What made number one for you?
So number one for me, I can remember the first time I experienced this, because I've played it through two or three times since. I actually did it on my laptop last year. But I'm pleased to say it didn't bring me to tears, but I can remember being so stunned and upset that you know, it was hit and miss which way it was going to go.
Yeah.
When you've, in certain games, you sort of build a relationship with characters, and you,
yeah,
not just in like gaining experience and ranking them up and buying their weapons, and you know, they become part of your team, and then sometimes it goes beyond that, and you sort of, you know, it's you come to rely on them. Yeah. So when Sephiroth drove his sword through her back, oh man, that's, that for me was heartbreaking. And obviously this is the death of Ares on Final Fantasy VII. So you're off in that, I can't remember the place, some like weird alternative place. And
yeah, it's Final Fantasy for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's really odd. You go down this huge staircase. When I played it again last year, just knowing this was coming. I mean, I specifically hadn't ranked Ares up.
Yeah.
But just knowing that this was coming, it's heartbreaking, you know. I can remember the first time I watched it, and these FMVs, like, it looked so real, and it was like, looking back now, it's trash, but yeah, just the emotion that's tied up with that moment of Ares' death. I don't think, I mean, it obviously has happened. I think it's, for me, that was the first time a playable character was killed off as part of the story in a game that I was playing. You know, I don't remember a huge amount of games I was playing before that, but just sort of out of the blue, Ares is gone. And all that work you've put in is done.
Yeah.
And that really tugs on your heartstrings, you know. That was
It does, because I mean, like you say, you've committed a lot of time and effort, and you know, that's a long game as well, Final Fantasy. I mean, we're not talking about the order here. You know, Final Fantasy VII. You know, how many discs did that come? Was it four discs?
Discs on the PS1,
First landed, yeah. You know, I mean, that's not shirking. I mean, you're putting a...
Yeah, you're not kidding.
You're putting in a proper shift there. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people would have been, you know, feeling your pain there, mate. It's...
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people have played Final Fantasy. And because... this happens like midway through. A lot of people have got to this point and beyond it. It's not like it's the final boss, therefore less people have done it. I think anybody who's played Final Fantasy for any period of time has gone through the Ares death sequence. And yeah, it's heartbreaking, man. It's horrible.
I've got a tear in my eye, Dan. Don't do this to me, bro.
So yeah, that's I think that for me was a very poignant moment. Now I was gonna say let's do some notable mentions, but that's gonna impact quite heavily on the missions, which is gonna be the next episode. So let's leave it there. You know, let's call it a day there.
I agree.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening.
Cheers, guys.
Like I say, on next week's one, we're going to be doing best gaming missions.
Yep.
And, you know, you can have a think about yours. You can tweet us, but we'll have already recorded, so...
Yeah. Be interesting to see, though, kind of what your... You know, whether any of your, you know, suggestions or ideas or
favourites,
you know, sort of link up with ours. There's so many games that each of us have played over the years, and... yeah, that's going to make interesting reading.
It will indeed.
Yeah, get your tweets into us at AWB Podcast.
Yep.
And
we look forward to hearing your feedback.
Definitely.
Yeah. So thank you once again, and cheers. We'll see you next week.
I'm actually really quite bad at it. Yeah, and I don't think that's for any fault of my own. I think that. The controls...